Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Joel Blank. I'm Patch Creighton in for Jeremy Branham. Jeremy's got a DNP rest today.
So,
not in the lineup today as getting the pinch hitting opportunities. Killer Bees.
Hey, that's right, Killer Bees. Hey, I'm glad to be back. I missed you guys immensely, Pat. I always love working with you. I miss Jeremy, but I don't have to miss him much because we're constantly communicating. So let's have a good Friday. Make it fire. Frankie's will be back soon. Light it up, Brendan. Sorry, thanks for keeping the seat extra warm, but I'm back.
I got yelled at for the quality of my What Up H-Town.
I caught part of that yesterday. I took my father-in-law to the Flight Museum down at Ellington Field. We got in the car, and he's like, are they talking about you? And I go, yeah, I kind of do this thing at the start of the show where I do the What Up H-Town, and I don't think it went so well.
Well, so you so generously gave me one of your old computers.
Yeah.
And it's great. Like, it does the job. I didn't own a laptop before that. But when it turns on, it beeps really loud for, like, the first minute. And I
like
was like
once
worried,
or like over and over.
What? Sorry, was that?
Does it just beep once, or does it? Keep
it's constant. It just like keeps beeping.
Really? Okay.
And I was like waiting up until the last second before the mics came on, freaking out about if I was going to have to unplug the computer and let it die.
There's no like volume control to turn that off too.
Nope.
No, if it's doing like a disc check or something,
yeah,
it'll just go bam, 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 bam.
Oh, it's old school. It's a beast. But
it is.
Brendan needed just something to get on the internet. I think I can help.
But so I was just thrown off as the show started yesterday.
Can we get a recreation of your What Up?
I did it twice already.
Friday. You did it both days.
I did it both days.
Friday Entertainment Factor.
Well, you're the one filling in today, Patrick.
Yes, but Joel is here.
Yeah, but it's a fill-in special.
Well, I could be Simon Cowell. I could be the judge of both of you and tell you who does it better.
Oh, I've never actually even tried it.
Well, no time like the present.
We could have to do it in another rejoin or something.
Okay, we can do that. We can each do one on a rejoin and see, and then everybody can chime in and have a poll who did it better.
All right, we can work on it, and we'll have polls. Sounds like a Friday.
We already have
polls,
Pat. We're married with kids. I'm back.
All right, so last night we saw some brutal football. We saw some hideous football, and we may have even had some flashbacks. Because I'll tell you what, Al Michaels on the Amazon call on the final play of the game, it was literally foreshadowing.
You know what happened? Fourth and one. Surveys, good protection, slides, fires, broken up in the end zone. Gilmore on Sutton. So the defensive player of the year a couple of years back, and somehow, someway, the Indianapolis Colts, who took their first lead of the game on that field goal, pull out a 12-9 victory.
A slugfest in baseball.
In a game that set football back about 90 years. This was almost the same situation, only here's instead of finding a wide open KJ Hamler in the back of the end zone, who was exceedingly ticked off after that play, ripped his helmet off, slammed it on the ground. He then used some colorful metaphors that are not FCC appropriate for radio. As Russ goes at Stephon Gilmore and wrong decision. In the aftermath of that, as it's like, well, why didn't you run the football? Like, well, why didn't you guys run the football?
Well, RPO is the ideal call.
You've got, you know, a big back in Melvin Gordon who can get into the end zone, assuming he didn't fumble. And he didn't fumble yesterday.
But third and two, you called his number. He didn't get you the two.
I still would have gone back to it there in that spot. But Richard Sherman, mm-hmm. who was on the post game,
mm-hmm.
he also was having some flashbacks to what happened there on the final play of the game.
On the final play, you got to run the ball again. Like, I mean, I wish I had Marshawn up here. Like, 1 yard. You need 1 yard. Run the ball. Run the ball. Hey, CT.
He's triggered.
All he has do is run the football. Like, necessary criticism. I'm not, you know, I've said enough criticism for him, but God dang it, run the dang ball. Like, learn from your mistakes.
I don't. Can somebody fill me in? What is he referring to?
I'm confused. Have you been in this situation before?
Run the ball!
I will say this.
Two things on that, Joel. Number one, credit to Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman's got juice, man. He's letting it out. Number two, credit to Richard Sherman. He stayed within himself and did not drop what we all thought he was going to drop.
He was close.
In that moment. Because I thought for sure, did he just say what I thought he said? I had to go back and rewind.
So, first of all, and we lived this in the Bears game a few weeks ago, too. When you have a fourth and one and you line up in the shotgun, you're helping the defense. But my best friend, who was the best man in my wedding, was a quarterback in college. And he started texting me right after the play going, come on, before I even say it, you got to say it. And I'm like, down and distance. You get the first down first, then you worry about it. And I said the play call itself drove me nuts because he was a statue in the pocket. This is Russell Wilson. If there's things he's lost that he can't do anymore, one thing he's proven throughout even this game in particular was he could get out and run a little bit. So you put him in a run-pass option, or you get him out somewhere out on the edge, or you get him with a running back or a tight end where if he needs a bailout, he's got it. But he's not sitting there statuesque in the pocket with the front seven coming at him where there wasn't as much any holes for him to go to. Then you look at it and go from a Texans perspective, oh my God, as bad as I thought it was with David Culley, it may be worse. Because I'm not sure Nathaniel Hackett survives this season. I don't even know if he survives till their next game. Because no matter what contract he signed, however much money he signed, and with him having to go and hire an extra coach a few weeks ago because he couldn't handle head coaching decisions while he was handling trying to call offensive plays, and then he's calling these kind of plays, it's pretty clear that this was a team that was supposed to be a quarterback away from being Super Bowl caliber. Now you look at how much disarray is in Denver and you go, where do you start to fix the mess? You can't change Russ. He's making $160 million guaranteed. Nathaniel Hackett, he should be renting, not buying in Denver.
You know, for all the money that the Walton family has, now that that Denver is basically owned by Walmart, you would think if they had to write a check to make Nathaniel Hackett go away, not a big deal for them. You know, they sneeze and a few million come out. So the fact that they can't seem to get the offense moving with what's supposed to be a massive upgrade at quarterback with a guy who's been, you know, one of the best quarterbacks, one of the savviest, smartest, quarterbacks in the league, and you're worse than you were a year ago. All eyes are on Nathaniel Hackett.
Mm-hmm.
But all eyes are also on Russ. He has not only not played well, he has made some decisions that these aren't the decisions of a guy who's, you know, a multiple-time Pro Bowler and a guy who's been to two Super Bowls and has won one and a guy considered to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You don't make these decisions. And, you know, Russ is a weird guy because, you know, all the stories we used to see in Seattle about how basically the entire defense hated his guts. And Richard Sherman, of course, led that brigade, and he didn't seem to be a well-liked guy. When he tried to take up a leadership-type role, the guys would kind of roll their eyes at him like, oh, dude, shut up. You know, just go play quarterback. Don't turn the ball over. Don't screw it up for us. Do people just not like Russell Wilson? And look, we've seen he's kind of goofy.
He's religious. He's over-the-top positive. He's all the things that can get in someone's craw and stick there for quite a while. But this is like a mirror image of what we've been dealing with the Texans, where you say there's so much blame to go around. It's easy and it's deserving of the quarterback to start there. But you can go around the horn and find plenty of blame to where you can point more fingers, because the thing is, you're up 3 in regulation. You're inside the 30. You face another fourth down, you go for it. But you get it. But then he throws a pick, which cost you, but still I go back to the 4th-and-2 going, take the points. Your defense has been holding up their end of the bargain all night. Indy's got to go the length of the field, score, and get the extra point to take the lead. I'll take my chances, as opposed to setting the table for the Colts and Matt Ryan to get in field goal range in the Mile High City where the ball carries and tie it.
No, a 52-yard field goal on, what, 4th and 28. But, you know, when we go back to football, it's always, they always said, great players come up big when it matters the most. And when the game was on the line, you expect Russell Wilson is going to come up there, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe there's some consternation about how well Russ is being received in the locker room. Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football today absolutely eviscerated Russell Wilson.
I don't know when Russell Wilson turned into Mitch Trubisky, but I wish he would turn into Geno Smith so they could win a game. Okay? Because Geno makes that play 10 times out of 10. And then afterwards, you know, they got a 4th-and-1. They want to go for it. And look at that. That is a teammate that is on national television, that is at home. Afterwards, it's just perfect. They pass when maybe they should have run. I think Russell Wilson is one of the least authentic personalities we have in this league. I think Russell Wilson is a poser. And that doesn't mean he's a bad person. I actually think he's a good person. I think he tries to be something that he's not. And when you make the $245 million, you either got to be a really great guy with the locker room who loves you, or you got to be an amazing player. Brady, who makes half of what Russell's making, is both. Rodgers, MVP. Patrick Mahomes, both. Allen, people love him. He's amazing. Kyler, we'll find out. Russell Wilson, first of all, the NFL, the Broncos fan base has no history with him. They have no allegiance to him. This is not a Seahawks thing that they drafted him, they grew up with him, he's their guy. None of that. You know, I work the NFL honors. I work the red carpet. Kelsey comes by. Rodgers comes by. Russell Wilson shows up with his sunglasses and his wife, and I think they think they're Jay-Z and Beyonce, and they will literally put their hand up and say, no, we're not talking. Why?
Boy, that was strong. And especially coming from the NFL Network. That's not something that I would expect on a regular basis or maybe even on a one-time deal, but good for him for saying what a lot of people think. Because you know what? The comparison I made was it's like a Carson Wentz situation. Where you act holier than thou, you want everybody to believe you're this great guy, you know, to your teammates and to people around you and everything like that. And then you had, in Wentz's situation, you had the owner of all people going, not another day. We're done with it. We're not doing any more of this. He's gone. We're going to get another quarterback somehow, some way. You can't do that if you're Denver because you gave up a bunch to get him, and then you committed 160 guaranteed of however many overall in the contract. You're stuck with this guy, and this is horrible.
It is. They're behind the eight ball on this because, unlike you said about Jim Irsay in Indy, man, he slammed Carson Wentz. This guy's a bum. This guy cost us. He's why we didn't go to the playoffs. Worst decision we ever made as a franchise. We're going to get rid of him. We're going to bring in Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's been worse. Maybe it's not the quarterback, or maybe they just keep going to the well of ancient quarterbacks a little too often, but they can't use that excuse this year. But Denver, they gave up all the draft capital to get him, then gave up all the actual capital to make him happy. Either they need to accept, hey, maybe we need to let this be Russ's offense and maybe implement the things that he wants us to implement, run it his way, or... they might need a new head coach there because they are in a world of trouble. All right, but you're Houston Texans. One of the solaces that you used to be able to come up with was, well, you know what? We might not be that good, but at least we're not the Jaguars. About that next.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. I've been talking about him for almost a year now, and Doc Linville is a game changer. And he is quite plain and simple. There's no way around it. He changes your attitude, your appearance, and your confidence level by getting your hair back. If you've got thinning spots or you're balding already and you think there's nothing you can do about it but shave it, there is a solution. It's called the Neograft procedure. It's an all-natural procedure. Well, they take follicles of your hair where you're never going to lose it. And studies have shown genetically you're not going to lose it in the sides and on the back. So they take every third or fourth follicle from those areas. They put it where you need it. The hair plants, it grows, it stays, and you reap the benefits. It's fantastic. Go to 975hair.com right now. Sign up for a free consultation with Doc Linville in his office. It normally costs $150. For you as a listener, free. Ask all the questions like I did. How much is it going to cost? What kind of recovery time is there? How long is the procedure? And the biggest thing to me, what is the success rate of the follicles moved? 95%+ of all the follicles moved, stay, grow, and are with you for the rest of your life. That was the game changer for me. It turned my 8-head back to a 4-head. For other people, that's got the baboon's butt showing on the top of your head. You can cure that, too. It's all thanks to Doc Linville. Check him out today. Go to 975hair.com. Tell him Joel Blank sent you by.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
He's Joel Blank. I'm Patrick Creighton for Jeremy Branham, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5. I'm going to get to the Texans here in just a second, but first, we're going to hear from a member of The Hive. Will wants to talk some Broncos Colts. What's going on, Will?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. I hate when I have to miss it, but if you remember back in the right before the half, they called a first down call and they threw the challenge flag. I'm conflicted on the rules because you said his forward progression carried him across the first down marker, but then you said that he I don't know, man, it was crazy. But then what about the rule about the football move? He got tackled. You know, I don't understand these crazy rules and how they're being applied these days. And everything just seems like it's taken away from the game, man. I stand by and listen.
Well, hold on, Will. What is it specifically about the rule that you can that you're confused about? What the forward progress was?
Because when he came down, he didn't make a football move. That's the thing that, you know, let me just start by saying for y'all. Before y'all jump off the bridge with me, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm still hung up about the Dez Bryant. He didn't make a football move rule. And I just think some of these rules are just getting so outlandish that one conflicts with the other. And that's what I'm trying to understand. He was past the first down marker. When he came down, he was behind the first down marker. And he wasn't, you know, he hadn't passed the first down marker. But they said his forward progression. And I'm just trying to understand it all, man.
Forward progression is basically
the sideline catch right before the half, where he caught the ball with his forward progress going back towards the football.
Yeah.
I mean,
when he actually landed on the ground, he was actually about a yard or two back from the marker.
Where he caught the ball when contact with the defense is made is where his forward progress was stopped, and his forward progress was across the line. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but he was up in the air.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if he's up in the air. You can't
air or not. It doesn't matter.
Where he's made contact with is determined on his forward progress. That's the judgment call of the official. But that rule's not changed. When you said, you know, about the make a football move and go back to the Dez play, they changed the rule because of that play, and they removed the, you know, make a football move. That's no longer part of the rule. So that's how that changed. But these are two totally separate things. Appreciate the call, Will.
First of all, my sympathies, you're a Cowboys fan. Second of all, I was at the Dez Bryant catch game, and there's no doubt, as a Packer fan, I'm saying this, there's no doubt it was a catch. But if you're bitter about that, Will, I understand. Don't be bitter about the game because it turned out how it was going to turn out anyway. Aaron Rodgers had 3 timeouts, 3 minutes to go, and was at home. You were going to lose anyway. It's just more painful because it was taken from you instead of completely decided the way it should have been. But you're fine.
Yeah, if it was Aaron Rodgers' predecessor, that guy would have thrown an interception and you would have won.
He also would have taken a lot of his charity money and donated it to his daughter's college for volleyball. Don't worry about that.
The fact that he's not arrested and in jail, and that so many people are not arrested and in jail.
It's coming, but it is that we're not there yet.
There is a different justice system for those who are very wealthy.
Man, look, as it relates to the game and what happened with the Broncos, I mean, we can go over and over again in terms of the plays called and the mind-boggling decisions that were made throughout the game that set us up for this travesty that we all had to watch. And that's why I don't know if Nathaniel Hackett can survive. That's why, Russell Wilson, you said, you know, do you just turn it over to Russ? I don't know what else Russ can do because right now what I've seen of him throughout this year, including the full game against the Texans, I don't know if he can do anything like he used to do, which is mind-boggling to me. But it's something that has to be considered when you're Denver, because you look like you're in a world of hurt. You got a coach that doesn't know what he's doing. You got a quarterback that looks like he's washed that you just re-upped for a whole butt ton of money. And it's perplexing to me, like if you're a Broncos fan, that you sit there and you're going, you know, how did we get in this mess? Well, it's pretty easy. I mean, you did it to your, it's all self-inflicted wounds. You don't think in the interview process some of these discussions should have happened with Nathaniel Hackett, from like timeouts to fourth downs to play calling to all, and this is before you, whether you got Russ or not.
I think they probably did happen. And either he gave the right answers then, or they didn't care what his answers were because they had made their decision. This is the guy we want to hire. He's our buddy. He's our boy. Whatever the answer is.
I think it's really cute that you got the sexy quarterback that everybody knows and you got marketability with Russ Wilson. But you didn't have to go as far as you did on the extension with the guaranteed money. I think it's really neat that you got the Packers offensive coordinator, and the Packers have had has had this really prolific offense over the last couple of years. But you probably didn't, if you didn't do any of those questions during the interview process, I'm really starting to wonder if you didn't do the investigation to find out that he didn't call the plays in Green Bay.
What?
Matt LaFleur did. And oh, by the way, Matt LaFleur didn't call the plays in Green Bay either because number 12 was going to overrule and do whatever the hell he wanted to do anyway. But this guy got the head coaching job because of it.
So you're saying Nathaniel Hackett didn't call plays. That was okay. Eric Bieniemy didn't call plays, but he's bad.
Mm-hmm. If Nathaniel Hackett next week starts chewing on his tongue, look the hell out because all hell could break loose because he might be the second coming of David Culley. That was awful. And then the other thing is the honeymoon's over, by the way, with Amazon Prime. You got some good games. We got you off the schneid early. We got you off to a good start. Now to follow up on that watching paint dry experience last night, next week, hold your breath because you get Washington and the Bears.
Now, if that's not the old ESPN Monday night slate, I don't know what is.
No question. That's trying to look out for Troy and Joe now that they're at ESPN and give them some different games and let the schneid end up being Amazon Prime now.
How much money did you give us for this package? Well, we'll tell you what. You're going to have to prove yourself by how well you can do lousy games. Here's the Bears and the Commies. That is going to be just absolute trash to watch. And you get to do it on streaming. So when you get a bad game and it's not on regular TV, you have to go the extra step of having a streaming service in order to be able to watch it. Does that make it harder to get an audience? I just, you know, what do I know about
this? You can watch that without having Amazon Prime.
How do you watch? If it's on Amazon Prime.
Legally?
Twitch. These games are on Twitch.
Really?
Yes.
What about the baseball
game? So you still got to stream it. You got to stream it on Twitch.
Yeah, but Twitch is free.
It is.
Yeah. Do you have internet access?
Easy.
Or 90.
Easy how many there. People? Easy there. I need a laptop,
you know,
guy.
Not everybody is saying, hey, I want to watch a football game on my little laptop. I want to watch it on my gigantic television.
I mean,
with my surround sound.
Did you have an Xbox? Do you have a PlayStation? Do you have a Roku?
Brandon, I'm damn near 50 years old. Do I have these things? Yes. Do I use them? No, my kids do.
Then learn how to use them. It's on you.
Yeah, it is.
No,
on you.
I have this Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's on you.
I have Amazon Prime. I can stream it. My parents can't. In-laws can't.
That's a separate discussion. Can you get the baseball game? It's obviously not playoffs. But during the regular season, could you get all the baseball games on Twitch as well?
No.
Because that's the thing that...
That's Apple TV.
Right. No, not just Apple TV. Then there was the YouTube TV and there
But was it an Amazon game?
I'm just saying...
Amazon owns Twitch.
The fact that you deprive your home audience of their broadcasters and your home delivery provider of a game or multiple games so that you can try and sell or get people subscribed and following YouTube and Apple and all this other, that is such BS to me.
Baseball needs every eye they can get. Different story.
You know, there's also got trumped by Peacock for
football
one game.
Football can go wherever they want.
There was just an article in the Chronicle not that long ago about how there's a lot of rural areas of Texas that don't have consistent internet, period, the end, don't have a lot of internet service.
Move to the real world.
Not everybody lives in
the real world
metropolitan areas.
We find that out on a daily basis.
Live out on farms. Hell, there's people who live here in the city that don't live in the real world.
But we find that out even closer than just the city. You can keep narrowing it down. We can pretty much agree with some of those.
All right, before we hit the break, let's get back to the phones. Lamont, you're on late. You're on late hits.
What?
You're on the Killer Bees. What's up, Lamont?
What's the deal with it? Hey, man, I've been hearing a lot of people, and you know, I caught myself doing this too. You know, looking at the Broncos ownership and saying, how did they put themselves into this? And then I had to catch myself that we judging the current ownership based upon what the past ownership did.
Mm-mm. No, Lamont, we're not. The Bolins.
I don't think the Walmart people. Made all of these changes. That was the old regime, correct?
No, the Bolins sold once the old man passed away. Then they got into the negotiations to sell, and I'm almost positive the Wilson trade for sure was done after the sale was finalized to the Walmart group, and I want to say that even the hiring of Hackett was.
Yeah, the Walton group entered into agreement to buy the Broncos back on June 8th. So there was nothing done from that point on that they didn't sign off.
Yeah, they signed off on both because they showed them in the booth in their suite.
Okay, I was under the impression that the old regime made those changes. My bad.
No, all good. Anything else? Lamont, anything else, bud? You good?
All right, No, that's it, man.
All right, appreciate the call, Lamont. On the other side, we will get to the Texans and the Jags. First, Joel has important things to tell you.
Hey, it's the weekend. I mean, baseball playoffs going on sometime today. I think that there's three or four games later on today. So if you want to check those out, you want to put some money on them while you're waiting for the Astros to play and make an uninteresting game more interesting, you need to go to MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, the only place you need to go to place a wager to make any sporting event more interesting. And they got almost every sporting event, so it's perfect for you. They've got everything from the point spreads and the over-unders to all the different ways that you can get into even things like weekly blackjack tournaments, NFL, MLB playoffs, soccer, you name it, they've got it, and they can set you up so that you can make every game more interesting. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code BET975, and you get to double your next deposit up to $1,000. That's right. You put $250 in, you got $500 in your account almost immediately. More money in your account, more chances to win, more games to bet on. That's why you go to MyBookie. And that's why I tell you that's the only place you need to go. Use that promo code BET975 and get that double your next deposit up to $1,000. It's like I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5. Yes,
sure?
It is the Killer Bees.
I was going to say, you sure? Isn't this early hits?
It's early hits. Late Bees.
Hey, if you're a little bitter that Jose Siri was traded, you'll be even more bitter since he hit a home run today. But I'm sorry, I caught myself. It's not helping right now, though. I almost dropped a late hits Patrick Creighton type mention and called them by their previous name. Cleveland has taken a 2-1 lead over the Rays.
I thought you were going to call them the Devil Rays.
No. That's what he was saying, too.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Thank you. At least I covered my butt.
They're not the Devil Rays. Yeah. And they're not the Cleveland racial slurs.
No, that third baseman for Cleveland, he's pretty good. He can hit a little bit, and he just did. All right, that's all we're going to say about that. But there's three other games that you can check in and watch and pay attention to later today, obviously, with a special interest going to that Mariners-Toronto series, because that the winner of will play your Houston Astros.
By the way, when the Yankees get punched in the you-know-what by the Astros, how much do they give up to get Jose Ramirez to be their new third baseman?
He signed already. Didn't he sign an extension?
We'll give you anything you want.
Come on, a trade? Or?
Yeah, trade.
Okay. See, because I have friends at my gym that are Yankee fans that every single freaking day they have to text me because they think for some strange reason I might actually mention and want to talk about Aaron Judge or the New York Yankees. And then just to get them back when he finally, and I mean finally, hit a home run to get to 62, I said, oh, so you mean you're celebrating
sixth place.
No, future Red Sox All-Star Aaron Judge, and it was just like, I go, yeah, that's how I feel.
Should've
about
told
it.
Him future Met.
Well, I think it's either San Francisco Giants or it's the Red Sox.
Because, you know, we can say with absolute certainty, if the Mets don't win the World Series this year, their payroll is going to be $350 million next year.
Yeah, the owner doesn't care. He just wants to win.
And, you know, I wonder, like, if the Yankees, because the Yankees, it's been a big deal, you know, Hal Steinbrenner doesn't run the Yankees like George did, and they do have some kind of, you know, budget. They're not just going to spend whatever. If they get smacked by the Astros again, I'm sorry, when they get smacked by the Astros again, Aaron Judge is getting $500 million. Carlos Correa is getting $350 million. Trey Turner is getting $300 million. Going to play him in second base. They're just going to, like, Jacob DeGrom, they might throw, you know, $300 million to Jacob DeGrom. They're just going to throw money. It is going to be shore leave for every drunken sailor if the Yankees or the Mets do not win, and when they both don't win, because they're both not going to win.
I don't want to jinx
it,
Pat.
It's going to be insane.
I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to talk about when they play the Yankees. And I'm not certain that the Yankees are going to get there. But I'm also not going to jinx the Astros because I believe that they're the best team in the American League. And no matter who they play, they're going to prevail. But I enjoy seeing, and I know this isn't because you're from there. It's just specifically as it relates. Because I was talking to my father-in-law about this. I actually have always kind of pulled for the Mets as long as it wasn't against Houston because of the fact that they always have had to struggle to kind of get out of the Yankee shadow, and they've had little, you know, runs here and there, but nothing like the best team money can buy. I love it when the Yankees fall flat on their face. I can't stand their fan base and the way they are on Twitter and how their arrogance just kind of just exudes all kinds of a urine smell all over anything that they comment on.
Every time the Yankees lose, God saves a puppy.
I believe that. I can believe that.
And we need to save more puppies.
No doubt. I'm all about the puppies, as you guys know. So, yeah, anything to save more puppies.
Save
the
puppies.
My wife also believes in that. Save the puppies. All right, that's where we'll leave that.
All right, so let's get to your Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars because, you know, there's a lot of Texans fans out there that have kind of, well, you know what, the Jaguars, well, we're still better than the Jaguars. Jaguars are awful. We're not going to be last. If you want to get the update on that, it is quite possible that, yeah, the Jags are better, and yes, you are in last. So, well, the question becomes, A, are you more ticked off that the Jaguars have gotten good and the Texans still stink, or do the Jaguars getting good in spite of having Trent Baalke as their general manager, does that give you hope that if even a team as dysfunctional as the Jaguars can seem to get it right, that the Texans, with Nick Caserio kind of, you know, smoothing over their massive organizational dysfunction, can also get it right?
So I guess this is my attempt at sunshine and rainbows, and Brendan can interject at any time to tell me if I'm not being consistent. I have been a guy that believes in Nick Caserio when it comes to his ability to evaluate talent, the way he can handle the draft, and what he started here in terms of digging out of the Bill O'Brien Grand Canyon-sized hole he left behind and resurrecting this franchise to respectability. So I believe they're going in the right direction. I think as I look at it, the thing that bothers me, and I put it on the rundown for you guys, is the biggest problem is as bad as it was for the Texans, you always looked at the rest of the division and go, at least we're not the Jags. But now, suddenly, with Urban Meyer out, with a real football coach and a real offensive mind in, and Trevor Lawrence reaping the benefits of that, and then with them dabbling in free agency, spending a lot of money, it looks like they've really gone from setting back their rebuild to speeding it up to where they're kind of back to even on the kind of schedule they should be on. And that, if you're a Texans fan, should only concern you in the fact that you aren't there yet. But I still don't think, as it relates to your situation here in Houston, you should be worried, because this is truly just year two of a rebuild that I think is well on its way to doing what you want to see in the end results.
I would actually tell you it's year one of the rebuild, because last year wasn't even a rebuilding year. Last year was, you know, we had to fill in the crater.
Yep. It was a Grand Canyon size hole. I always tell people that Bill O'Brien left behind, and there's not enough, you know, garden soil, topsoil, and landfill in the world to try and fill all that bad boy in a year's time.
and you know, let's be fair about the amount of toxic waste that had to be removed from that gigantic crater in order to be able to fill the hole and then start to build. So Nick Caserio had the most difficult job in football as far as how far. He wasn't at the bottom. He was 50 feet below the earth and had to build his way up. So I think they've got the right guy as the general manager. I'm not going to say they don't have the right guy as the head coach because it's been four games.
Is there any scenario in your mind, because this is a discussion we had earlier this week, is there any discussion in your mind in which Lovey is not the coach after this season?
Oh, yeah, there's possibility.
I don't think they can do it. If they're a two to three win team,
I think it's possible.
I don't think from an image standpoint, from the screw up he made now, is all the flowers that I just gave Nick Caserio, I will not give him the flowers in terms of his hiring processes and what he did with Culley and now what it looks like so far with Lovey. But I believe for a lot of reasons, not just football related, there is, and because they care about image so much, in my opinion, what I stated was there's no freaking way they can move on from Lovey after one season.
See, I feel like if they underperform,
yeah, which they're doing.
Davis Mills continues to play like, you know, he's got no business being in the NFL sometimes, then yeah, I could see them moving on from him because they can move on from him for football reasons. He wasn't an outside search. He was a promotion from within. And I could see them doing it. Now, will they take some PR hits for it? Maybe. If Josh McCown comes walking in the door, they're going to get murdered.
Pat.
If they come back with...
It's irrelevant.
If Eric Bieniemy winds up being the next head coach, then it matters.
I just need you to do the big picture thinking here for me for 1 minute. David Culley, African-American, first-time head coach, fired after 1 year. Lovey Smith, veteran African-American head coach, fired after 1 year. In between and around it, you have the Brian Flores situation. You have all the different ways that they had a mass panic and the fact that they were considering Josh McCown, who had never coached anywhere on the planet before except for high school, and because he played in the league, he was going to be your leading candidate. From the standpoint of what they would take and deserve to take and everybody pointing fingers and looking at them, and because they care about that stuff so much, there is no way they're moving on from Lovey after this year.
I think if it has to be, they are absolutely brutal. Right? We start getting to games where they're not competitive.
What's worse, being competitive or being competitive and then peeing down your leg in the fourth quarter?
Probably not being competitive. If you're talking about from the ownership standpoint, because if you're competitive but then you lose late, that's a hallmark of a young team. You'll still get people into the building.
But you said from an ownership perspective, I don't think Cal pays enough attention.
Getting blown out the doors every week, people aren't going to show up again. There's only so much of that you're willing to
see. I disagree. If you see these young kids developing and you know that they're going to be here for a while, that's encouraging. I don't think from an ownership standpoint, Cal cares enough and pays enough attention that he's going to realize how they're getting beat. And I think from a general manager's perspective, as long as they take that L, but he's got the guys on his roster that he likes, I think everybody's doing their job.
He's going to see it in the bottom line, and he's going to hear it from his buddies at the country club how bad they are. So it matters. When you've got an empty building, it matters. I know that resonated with them last year, that they had an empty building. Mm-hmm. So if you come back and we're halfway through the season and there's an empty building, you know, it was only week four. And last week, the building was only about 70% full.
Okay.
And it's only week four.
That's actually better than it was a year ago.
And the press box wasn't even 50% full. People aren't showing up to cover the team. People aren't showing up to watch them. It's only week four. We get to week 12, and it's a ghost town? People are going to pay. They're going to pay for that. Fair or not, people are going to pay for that because that's what always happens.
We'll see. All right, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about Apollo Men's Health. I've been telling you about it for quite a while. Pat can tell you about Dr. O and his staff. We're big fans of Apollo Men's Health because they can put you on a path to your health being very important to you and being taken care of the way you need to take care of it. Your health is your wealth. You got to invest in yourself just like you invest in the stock market. And you do that by going to Apollo Men's Health. Because for both men and women, they can get energy back in your life, starting with hormone therapy and all the different ways it can be administered. You want to try a B12 shot weekly first, like I do, and reap the benefits of that. It absolutely can give you a little bit more pep in your step. Getting on a workout program, trying to lose weight, a full body composition analysis will get you off on all the data you need to get off on the right foot And then you can chart your progress every month or so and make sure that your muscle mass is going up, your weight is going down, your body fat's going down, and all those kind of things. You want to recover quicker in the gym, they got HGH peptide therapy. You're looking for stuff for your smoothies and fat burners, they got that too. Two locations to better serve you. Get the process going today. Go to ApolloMH.com. Book your first appointment. When you do, you'll find out most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit. Then go in, be honest, let them put you on a program. Reap the benefits because they get your results and they're going to get you where you want to go. Check them out today. They're my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Will the real Davis Mills please stand up? Will the real Davis Mills please stand up? We're going to have a problem.
He's head and shoulders above everybody else because of his neck. But other than that, he can stand all he wants. He has found a way that he should be sitting down at the end of the year. The General Mills scoreboard, Pat, in case you missed it, is 0 for the Mills Mafia, 4 for the Over the Mills gang, which I have headed up because I am definitely Over the Mills.
There is some like legit concern here when it comes to Davis Mills, because the guy who played the final 5 games of last season and looked like he was playing better than Mac Jones, better than Trevor Lawrence. We won't even mention the other guys. They weren't even anywhere near the conversation. Davis Mills, last 5 games of the year, far and away the best rookie quarterback last season. And I don't know where that guy is. I don't know if he's locked in a trunk somewhere in the back of somebody's car, if he's in somebody's basement. I don't know what happened to that guy, but he's not here. The guy who showed the functional mobility of being able to slide step the rush, buy extra second or two, fire the ball down the field, and make big completions, well, that guy hasn't been here. In fact, last year, Davis Mills had the second best QBR of any quarterback on throws 20 yards down the field or more. This year, when he's not getting intercepted, he's really not throwing them. Last week, Davis Mills had 26 completions. 13 of them went for 5 yards or less.
Well, at least he can finally complete those.
Of those 5 yards, of those passes, only one was actually for 5 yards. 3 of them were for losses, including one for a 5-yard loss to the tight end. Now, Joel, you and I watching football for a long time. I have never seen, never played on, never covered, never watched any team that had a play in its offensive playbook that was throw the ball to a tight end 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage and see if he can make 3 guys miss in order to gain power. I've never seen that play before. The analytics guys must be like popping off about, you know, expected points added on that play. Must have been such a great idea. You know, maybe next week they'll roll out the bootleg double reverse flea flicker. But who drew this play up? How did they think this was a good idea? And if you're Davis Mills, why the hell are you throwing that football?
See, but, well, that's where it starts for me, Pat, because Pep Hamilton is catching a lot of heat. And like I said, there's plenty of fingers to be pointed and blame to be soaked up amongst this franchise and in particular this offense. But it starts with a guy that when you mention a stat like that, it almost surprises me and made me raise an eyebrow because of the fact that I've seen him not be able to complete a simple out route. I've seen him on a crossing pattern throw multiple times so far behind the crossing receiver that if he did try and really get back there and get both hands on it, he'd have gotten laid out, wouldn't have caught it anyway. Like, his out routes are ending up in the vendor's hot dog container before it ended up in the receiver's hands. So it goes, and this is a conversation Jeremy and I have had over and over again, because as it relates to Pep, I understand it's not ideal in terms of the play calling. But the thing to me is, if I'm a play caller, and I know that the guys that are responsible for executing the plays I want to call are incapable of carrying out and executing those plays, I'm not calling them. Because they're going to fail regardless of how innovative the play would have been if everybody did their job. What you're seeing, which is why I'm so down on Davis Mills, is he can't execute the simple plays, but yet people want more elaborate, innovative offensive plays to be run. I get it if you want to see more Dameon Pierce. I get it that he should be running the ball more often. I get it that it wasn't ideal when Rex Burkhead was Rex Burkheading in week one. Those are conversations I'll have, but I won't have a conversation about Pep not calling all these different plays while I know his receivers have been less than stellar and the guy that's executing and triggering everything is incapable right now.
Well, there's a couple of things that are important to note. Number one is it's a couple of weeks now Lovie has been on Davis Mills about decision making. That they get into RPOs, they're making the wrong call. They line up at the line, they're making the wrong reads. They're going to the wrong receiver. And that the decision making needs to improve. Now, obviously, the only guy making decisions is going to be Davis Mills. He's got the football. So it's Lovie throwing Davis Mills under the bus without mentioning his name specifically. But if you know the guy's making poor decisions, either you've got to coach him up or you got to take those decisions away from him. The question becomes, how did the guy who made the right decisions last year now become a guy who makes the wrong decisions this year? And every now and then he makes the right decisions and you can still see him hit a big pass. Well, look, he threw a ball 50 yards on a rope. That was a strike. He hits these big throws and often enough for you to feel like, hey, he could do that on a regular basis. We'd have our quarterback. But then he's going to airmail one or two and they're going to get picked. Or he's going to airmail one over the sideline. Or he's going to throw a Donovan McNabb ground ball on a short pass.
You saw the third down to Nico Collins, right? No one around him. No one around Collins.
No, it's a fly ball.
Not even close to the same area code or zip code.
If that ball is on the money, Collins is gone. He's 5 yards behind the defense on a 3rd and 8. And he airmailed it.
It's the one that has stuck in my craw all week. Of all the bad throws, of all the bad decisions, and I'm not arguing with anything, and I'm glad Lovie is finally, I'm glad we're over the honeymoon phase of just buttering up and protecting Davis Mills. It's time that he has to own up to a lot of these mistakes instead of blaming Pep or blaming the offense or blaming where else the work. We're close. Well, by the time you get real close and figure it out, it's going to be the end of the season. But that throw right there, in a nutshell, is what we're dealing with a guy that we saw progress last year.
Davis Mills shows you he has the arm strength to make the throws. And we know he can make the right decisions because he does it sometimes. He doesn't do it consistently. And his throws, the accuracy is not consistent. And you talked about the throws behind receivers. Let me ask you something. Recent Texans history. Guy who had the arm strength to make the throws, but sometimes didn't necessarily show it off. Could sometimes hit a big throw down the field, but would airmail a ball or bounce the ball or throw the ball 5 yards behind the receiver so it hits the defender in the hands. But the team kept protecting him and kept saying, oh, no, he's a good quarterback. It's the receiver's fault. It's the line's fault. It's this guy's fault. It's that guy's fault. I feel like we've done this dance before with another quarterback who had an unusually long neck.
I'm thinking
Brock Osweiler.
Oh, okay. Because I know that there was a lot of that with Ryan Mallett and with...
Ryan Mallett didn't play long enough, you know,
between getting injured. His alarm clock didn't help him out.
Well, his alarm clock, the back injury, hurting his pec.
But you're right about Brock. You're right about Brock.
But that was Brock, right? Brock would make some plays. He'd be like, see, Brock's going to be a good quarterback. And then, you know, the game he played in Mexico City was one of his best games. He fouls it up, throwing a bunch of picks. And I remember, because I was working for the flagship at the time, I remember how many people were dogging DeAndre Hopkins because, well, he had a high interception percentage when he was targeting DeAndre Hopkins. And it became, oh, well, DeAndre's not getting open. DeAndre doesn't get any separation. DeAndre's not fast enough. I went and broke down these plays. DeAndre Hopkins is 8 yards behind the defense. Throw balls underthrown, the defense intercepts. DeAndre Hopkins coming on a crossing pattern. Ball's 3 yards behind him, hits the defender in the hands. These were not DeAndre Hopkins' fault interceptions. It was Brock sucked. And I'm starting to see a lot of the Brockisms come out in Davis Mills.
Are you willing to say it?
He's underthrowing the ball. He's airmailing the ball. He's behind the receiver.
Say it. Say it. You said it for Brock.
Is he going to be the next Brock Osweiler?
I thought you got to say it. If Brock sucked, say it.
He's getting close to being in that part. I'm getting close to being in that direction of this guy's not a quarterback.
Because it's mind-boggling to me how many people in this population of Texans fans still want to protect him. It's not just the organization now. There's fans out there that want to protect his ass, too.
It's four games in. I don't want to crucify him for, okay, you're never going to be anything. Like, you can't get better. Because I think he can get better. But Ken and Will are two different conversations. And I think that the window of how long I'm willing to wait to see, are you going to get better, that window is getting closer and closer to closing with each passing week.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, that's the first hour of the show. It went by awfully quickly. We'll continue the dialogue with 2 hours still to go, so we want you to hang right where you are with the Killer Bees. Before we go to the break, tell you again about Doc Linville. I've been telling you about Doc Linville because, look, guys, if you're out there and you really are really disappointed in the fact that you don't even want to look in the mirror anymore because you're thinning, you're balding, you think that, you know, you're losing to father time and it's getting to be a rout, and you don't think there's anything you can do about saving your hair, there actually is, and Doc Linville is the guy to get the job done. Doc Linville takes care of everybody because he has mastered this entire process better than anybody. It's called the Neograph process. He's the best in the business in my mind in doing it. He does it right here in Houston, Texas. And as an ESPN listener, you can talk to him and his staff free of charge when it normally costs $150 and find out if you should get the process too. I've got it. Granato got it. Jake Asman got it. Fred Fowler got it. Be the next in line to get it. Reap the benefits from it, and see that you can get your hair back again. Go to 975hair.com and sign up for that appointment. You'll get it for free instead of $150. Then go in and have a laundry list of questions and ask them all like I did. Find out that the success rate for every follicle moved, 95%+. Find out that it's not sprays and creams and foams and all the different things that are just masking the problem. It's fixing it. Find out how you can get your hair back and look great again and really get yourself confidence back with it. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. It's 975hair.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
Hey, yeah.